I begin today's podcast recapping a couple articles that caught my eye. In the fallout of Croatia crashing out of the World Cup, I did some reading. Elvir Islamovic reviewed the Croatian World Cup campaign for the UEFA.com website. There is disappointment falling at the group stage again, as in 2002 and 2006, but there is hope for the future. He listed a couple of young players who have time to grow. Kovacevic, Brozovic, Rebic, and Vrsaljko are all in their early 20s. Modric, Mandzukic, and Rakitic are also in their prime. Plus, Niko Kovac is young and relatively inexperienced, so as he grows, the team should grow with him. The sense is that they will fight it out with Italy for direct qualification to Euro 2016, but should be at the tournament and have a say. Also, some notes about fans. Simran Kosla put a graphic on the Global Post website breaking down where fans are coming from for this tournament. Number 9 is Mexico, number 8 is France, number 7 is Chile, number 6 is Australia, number 9 is Colombia, number 4 is England, number 3 is Germany, number 2 is Argentina, and number 1 is the United States. To give you a sense of the numbers, the United States is almost at 200,000, while Argentina is just over 60,000 tickets purchased. Along these lines, Simon Romero wrote a piece at the New York Times looking at the changing middle class in Latin America and how it's impacting fans' support of the World Cup. Fans from Latin America came to the World Cup in growing numbers, some with tickets, some without, some staying at hotels while others crashed in tents or on the beach. The prices for everything are outrageous, but fans want to be part of this event. Part of the reason that fans can make this trek is that incomes are growing in some regions, although the article points out that some basic services are still lagging. The article is a great read to learn some of the sacrifices people are willing to make to be at this huge spectacle. On to the football. Again, this 2014 World Cup is the gift that keeps on giving. The words for today were drama and tension. For the final match day in Group D, I watched Italy against Uruguay. La Celeste went with a relatively unchanged lineup while Prandelli rolled out the Juve version of the Azzurri. Bonucci came into the team for the missing De Rossi to form a back three with Barzagli and Chiellini. Together with Buffon, Marchisi, and Pirlo, six black and whites were in the starting lineup. Verratti was inserted, with the big news being Immobile starting up top with Balotelli. The first half was a series of fouls, over-the-back reactions, Cavani turnovers, and dangerous Uruguay free kicks into the Italian penalty area. Both teams tried to get the ball wide, but with matching formations, this did not produce much. For the Italians, Balotelli was running in the red, and I got the sense that he was not long for this match. His forward partner, Immobile, was out of sorts and did not offer much. Uruguay struggled to get Suarez and Ladero involved, but Godin was a brick wall in the back. The second half started with Balotelli being subbed out for Parolo, and Immobile was left up top by himself. Again, there was a stop-start rhythm to the proceedings, and I thought that Verratti was bright in the first half, but struggled due to the team reshuffle and taking a ball to the family jewels early in the half. On 58 minutes, the game changed as the ref rightly sent off Marchisio for a bad challenge, and Italy was in trouble. Again, Italy only needed a draw, yet even at a man down, Immobile had two half chances, but succumbed to cramp and gave way to Cassano. Verratti also had to be removed with Mata coming on, and these were the players who had to get it done for the last 20 minutes. What can you say about Godin? With 10 minutes of normal time remaining, the man who had scored the equalizer to win La Liga and scored a goal in the Champions League final hit a corner kick in with his back/shoulder to put the South Americans in front. Uruguay held on and advanced to the round of 16. Amazing scenes at the end, and the Italians crash out in the group stage for the second World Cup in a row. But what about the moment of insanity? Did Suarez bite a player for the third time in his career? At first look, no, but on multiple viewings, especially the sideline view, I'd have to say yes. It looked like he did go at Chiellini with a headbutt, yet when ESPN zoomed in, it appeared they bit Chiellini on the shoulder, which is what the Italian defender was trying to show by peeling his shirt over his shoulder. Wright Thompson wrote an excellent article for ESPN the magazine trying to gain a deeper understanding of this talented but troubled player. My sense from the article is that when Suarez is caught up in moments of uncertainty and tension that threaten his success as a footballer, he acts out. At the time of the incident, Uruguay were out of the tournament and something snapped inside the player. Supposedly FIFA is starting an investigation, but who knows where this will lead and what the punishment, if any, will be. In the other match, England and Costa Rica finished 0-0, and I'm glad I avoided that match. The Ticos topped the group and might be the surprise of the tournament at this point. Hashtag CONCACAF. For the Group C games, Aaron Smith and I chose Japan against Colombia. The Blue Samurai had something to play for, while I figured there was little chance that Greece would go for it against the Ivory Coast. Colombia rotated their squad ahead of the next round with Yepes, Gutierrez, and Rodriguez all rested. Japan started strong with a couple of early chances, then Colombia played a nice ball into the 18 for Ramos to run onto. Kono was shepherded away from the goal, but for some reason clipped his feet. Penalty to Colombia, converted by Cuadrado, and Japan had a huge hill to climb. During the boredom of the first half of Japan-Colombia, I saw a post on ESPN FC about Hope Solo. Her recent run-in with the law is quite strange, and Jim Capel wondered if she might be out of chances for club and country. Towards the end of the half, Taylor Twellman used the word deliberate to describe the Japanese team. Totally. Just did not penetrate the Colombian defense and switch play quickly enough, but on the stroke of halftime, a whipped-in ball was headed in by Okazaki to give Japan a chance of progression. However, the Greeks had scored in the other game, so after 45 minutes, Greece was actually going through. Halftime saw Jose Pekerman rest Cuadrado and bring in Rodriguez, and it was his introduction that changed the game. Colombia played much better, and he set up Jackson Martinez to put the Colombians in the lead 10 minutes into the half. We then switched over to the Greece-Cote d'Ivoire game to see what would happen there. Minutes after joining the match, Gervinho laid off for Boney to score a vital goal for himself and the African team. That goal saw Les Elephants in the next round, but in injury time, Sayo cost his team a place. A ball zipped in from the left-hand channel was attacked by Samaras, who I affectionately call the Dirty Greek, and Sayo stepped on his foot. The referee immediately blew the whistle, and Samaras accepted responsibility for a chance at glory. He did not fail. A driven finish into the right-hand netting, and the Ivorian dream was extinguished again at the group stage. Colombia ended up winning 4-1, and I got this group all wrong. Had the Ivory Coast winning the group with Colombia second, Japan third, and Greece last. Turns out Colombia won the group in style and will now meet Uruguay on Saturday in an all-South American affair, while Costa Rica plays Greece on Sunday. One of those two teams will be in the quarterfinals, and I hope to God it's not the Greeks. Finally, yesterday I bitched about the mismatching shoes from some players wearing Puma products. I noticed in Tuesday's games that the goalies, particularly Buffon and Kawashima, were wearing mismatching gloves as well. Completely stupid. Today's matches see the conclusion of groups E and F. Argentina are through, and Iran or Nigeria could still progress depending on results. In Group E, if Ecuador matches or better Switzerland result, they would advance. Hoping for more goals and dramatic finishes. Ta-ta!